Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, today may very well be a very momentous day for this church. As you know, we're going to be having a special membership meeting in a little while at about 1 o'clock this afternoon to discuss some future vision for this church. And I thought it might be fitting in light of all of that, that I know many of you have, but there's probably quite a few here that maybe have never really heard the history of this church. You know, so I want to just share a little bit about the history of this church, how it came to be, and so on and so forth. And it goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to the early 1930s. 1931, a man named Vincenzo Guglielmi, nice Irish man, and his brother Jimmy, he and his family, they moved to Copaig, and they began a little cottage prayer meeting in their home. And a dear friend of theirs, who was a missionary, a Sister Sardella, she came and she began to teach the word. She was gifted with the gift of teaching, and she taught the word in their home. And in the mid-1930s, that little cottage meeting began to grow, and they actually relocated to a storefront right here in town on Oak Street. You know where Oak and Great Neck meet at the light? There's a Flame, whatever it is now. It used to be a delicatessen back in my day. But one of those storefronts right there, they began meeting right in there. And a brother Cesare, he was called to be the pastor of that little meeting in that storefront. About a year later, for reasons we don't know why, that storefront closed, and they had to actually move back into Vincent Guglielmi's home, and Pastor Cesare left. But in August 1946, the church was officially incorporated as the Italian Pentecostal Church. Now, this was made up of a bunch of older Italian people. Now, you got to understand, back in those days, all 95% of probably the Italian immigrants that came here were all Catholic. Okay? If you were not Catholic, you were Protestant, you were Pentecostal, you were an outcast. We had this in my own family. One of my aunts, we called her Zia Mamina, she was the only one in the family that wasn't Catholic. She was one of the original people who founded this church. It was in those cottage meetings back then. We had nothing to do with Zia Mamina. She was an outcast. But here, look how faithful God is. She remained in this church throughout the years, the decades to follow, till my entire family, who were her family, ended up coming here. She was still alive, very old. She prayed for the family. That's all she did, was she was on her knees praying for our family all those years. And all those years later, we all came through these doors, and she saw us, the answers to our prayer. Within a few months, she died. But she got to see her prayers answered. So in 1946, it was incorporated as the Italian Pentecostal Church. In 1949 through 59, a man came in, Dominic Guido. I love that name. Anybody remember Saturday Night Live? They used to have Father Guido Sarducci. Anybody remember? They always did a skit with him. It was hysterical. Every time I read that name, I think of that. Well, anyway, Dominic Guido became the first official pastor of the Italian Pentecostal Church. And during his pastorate, this very property where this church is on now was secured by a donation by the Mavella family. Now, you got to understand, Sabina Mavella was part of this church. Her husband wasn't. And she wanted to donate property to build a church. And he wasn't crazy about the idea. But it goes to show who wore the pants in that family. She donated the property. And they built this little white church. We have pictures of it. They're building the church. They got shovels in their hand and they got suits and a hat on. That's how it was back in those days. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And the church they built, if you're familiar with this building, where the nursery and toddler room is and the two bathrooms down the hall, it protrudes out the front of this building. That was the original church. That and that alone, that little tiny place in the front. So they built that church. In June of 1959, a man named Joseph Colella came in, and he was called to be the new pastor. Now, Pastor Colella was a contractor. He was a builder. The church was growing. And during his time here, he built this main sanctuary, just from the columns in right here and the basement fellowship hall. And that became the new church. And in November of 1956, the church was officially changed from the Italian Pentecostal Church to the Full Gospel Christian Church. Amen. July 1969, our precious brother and pastor Ross Davey came in, whose wife, Diane Davey, is still with us here today, who is it this Friday will be 94 years old. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Pastor Davey was here up until 1984 when, unfortunately, due to health issues, he had to resign. But it was during this time, while he was here, that the church began to grow and grow and grow. And we had come here now beginning in the early 1970s with our entire family, all the Pagarulos and all their relatives and all their friends that came here. The church probably doubled in size overnight. But once again, the church was now too small. And it was during this time that we added on these wings. And downstairs, all the classrooms that are underneath these wings, because Pastor Davey also had a vision for a Christian school. And in 1981, actually, he asked me, would you be on the board? We want to create a Christian school. And we got Annette Brown was on that board. And we developed and came up and birthed a school within the church, within the basement of this church. It was tremendous growth during this time. Pastor Davey was a forerunner. You know, back in those days, everything was an organ with the keypads, the hymn books, and all of this. Pastor Davey loved to sing. And he created Ross Davey and the Gospel Singers. They actually produced two or three albums. And they were considered pioneers, probably even blackballed by some churches because guitars and drums and... There was one guy there, you know who I think it was? It was Pastor Diaz's son. Used to play the bongos. I mean, this was insane for church. But the church really grew and they became known all over Long Island. In 1981, we began bilingual services in Spanish. And a small Spanish group was developing and growing. And what is now the cafe at one time was the Spanish chapel. But as they grew, they moved into the sanctuary with their own. And in 1981, Copay Christian Academy was birthed. And we began a school. We began with just preschool, and then preschool and kindergarten. And then in 1983... I came on as the principal of the school, and we expanded the school to sixth grade and then eventually eighth grade and had in excess of 130 students here at one time. We had there were no Christian high school. There was no Smithtown Christian. There was no South Shore Christian at the time. And we actually had a vision. I had a vision to increase the size of this school And I actually drew up plans, got an architect, went to the building department, got permits, got it approved. And we were going to blow out the back of this building with a gymnasium, additional classrooms, and go right up through high school. We began a building fund and began, but finances, we just never could raise enough, and every year the price went up and up and up until at one point we decided we just can't. And by that time, other schools, such as Smithtown, such as South Shore, had now opened outlets for Christian high school. So we just felt the Lord was taking us in a different direction. Now, when Pastor Davey retired in 1984, Pastor John Wynn came in, and he was called to be pastor. It was during that time we began sending some missionaries out into the world, into various parts of the nations. Pastor Wynn was a very different pastor. He was still playing that organ up on the altar and singing. We went back to the hymn books and all of that. But he was with us for 7 years, and then Fred Tolliver, who was an elder at the time in this church, took over as interim pastor during the time of transition. And in 1993, a brother by the name of Robert Odom was called to be pastor. And Pastor Odom was a great guy. He really was. And he served here as pastor for 10 years. It was during that time he raised me up to become his associate pastor for several years. He raised up Pastor Diane to be in charge of counseling and prayer ministry within the church. And he was with us up until 2003, at which time he chose to go with his family and move down south. I think it was to North Carolina or South Carolina, somewhere in that area. And he believed that God had spoken to him and that had told him that Pastor Diane and myself were called to bring this church to become the senior pastors now of this church. So we were voted upon and we were installed in 2003. As the senior pastors, and we've been here ever since. It's been almost 22 years now. So the church has a very, very long and rich history. It's a beautiful facility that God has planted on this corner for purpose. And, I came to find out, I guess about 10 years ago when one of my aunts passed away, who lived right down the street from here, and I went to her funeral, and my cousin got up to speak, and when she saw me there, she says, you know, I want to share something with you because I see my cousin Eugene is here, and she says, I don't think he even knows this. She says, he's the pastor of Full Gospel Christian Church on the corner. Says that my aunt, her mother and father, who was my aunt and uncle, before this church ever existed, before the property was ever donated, it was a farm. And my aunt and uncle lived in a shack in the middle of this property as caretakers for this farm. So I says, we had family on this property before it ever even became a church. And the part I find really interesting, because yes, God, like I said, you know, he's into such details. Here we are now, oh my God, I don't know, almost 100 years later, for crying out loud. We have an English and a Spanish ministry here. My aunt was English-Italian. Her husband was Spanish, but a Spaniard from Spain. And here they were, the caretakers on this property. Just to show you the little details, how God works things out. And it has been our pleasure to be here all these years with our family. And most of my family was all here at one time. But we're going to be sharing later on, maybe about 1 o'clock when we have our membership meeting, our vision for the future. Because we're not going to be here forever. We're all getting older. You know, we have to make provision. You can't just let it happen and let the cards fall as they may. You have to make plans. It would be would be foolish not to do that. So this may be a very momentous day for Full Gospel. Now, what I want to share also is one of the first things we did when we became, we took over the pastorate here at Full Gospel. You notice this little plaque up here? My father's house? Well, you also, on the sign outside, you'll notice it's in much smaller letters, but it says, Our Father's House at Full Gospel Christian Church. Now, we changed the sign outside the very first Sunday when we took over. The very first message we preached here. And I got such a kick out of this because here we just finished preaching the first message on that Sunday. We didn't have the cafe at that time. And service is over, and now we're on our way home. And at that time, we lived out all the way out in Center Reach, so it was a little bit of a ride home. We're on our way home, and I get a call in the car. And who is it? My brother Phil, who lives down in Georgia now. He had moved down to Georgia. He says, Hey, Eugene. I said, Hey, Phil, how you doing? Good. What did you do? I said, What did I do? You changed the name of the church? You just did a first Sunday, you changed the name of the church? You see, this church has been very ingrained in our family. This is where we all were basically born. And I said, I didn't change the name of the church, Phil. I said, I just added, it's our Father's house at Full Gospel. We didn't do nothing legally, change the name, change the corporation. We didn't do any. I didn't even get home. That's how the Christian grapevine. Somebody that was here called them. Hey, your brother changed the name of the church. I got such a kick out. I said, take it easy. Take it easy. Slow down. We didn't change the name of the church. All these years, it's still been the Full Gospel Christian Church. But we wanted to feel like our Father's house. Do you remember going to your father's house when some of you, maybe your fathers are still alive, but those of us when our father was still alive, there was always something special about going to our father's house. You know, the reason we changed the name is because we want our Heavenly Father to abide here. We want Him to live here. Without Him, this is just a building. You know, time to time, I grew up here in Copaig, right on Waldo Street, next block over from Jerry and Mary Ann. My father built the house I grew up in. We lived in a smaller house, then he built this brand new big ranch on Waldo Street. That was my father's house. We loved going there. We went there for all the holidays and all the special Sundays and whenever we're over. But, you know, every once in a while, I'll drive down there. Well, now, it's just some house on Waldo Street. It's not my father's house anymore. It's a house my father built. Yeah, he built it, but there's probably three families living in it now. You know, they probably turned it into a three-family home. And we changed that name to our father's house. We added that name because we want us to feel like we're at Dad's house when we come here. We want us to be family. And I hope that we have over the years created that atmosphere in this place. Because it's important. It's not just a matter of getting up on a Sunday morning and going to church because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday mornings. We come here to see each other. Sometimes it's hard to get the service started because everybody's hugging and kissing and schmoozing and because that's what you do. When you go to Dad's house and you're with family, you want to spend time together. You want to enjoy each other. Catch up a little bit. But like I said, that house in Copaig is just a house now because Dad's not there anymore. You know, the truth is, even those of you who may still have your fathers alive, eventually we all become orphans. We do. Our parents do pass away. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father will always be there. He will always, always, always be there for us. And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. You know, we didn't always trust him in the past. You know, before we really developed a relation with him, you think back. You didn't always trust God. You questioned him. You thought things should go one way, and they went another way. And you questioned him. You challenged him. Maybe even got angry with him. Maybe even turned your back on him. I'm not going to church anymore. We didn't always trust him, but he wants us to trust him. And if you look back, you'll see that no matter what you've been going through, if you trust him, he'll always get you through. I want to take a look at a portion of scripture in Psalms. Psalm 25. Let me see if I can find it. It's one we've heard so many times. It just simply says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And in verse 4 it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. We need to surrender. We need to surrender our souls. You know what our soul is? It's our mind, our will, our emotions. It's everything. It's everything that's going on. We need to surrender to him and trust him more and more with each passing day. Come on, do we live in a confused, complicated world? I mean, especially, I mean, look, since the elections and everything that's led up to it, and we're kind of in a limbo right now, waiting till sometime in January when the government's going to change hands, and what's going to happen? What's going to change? Where are we going to go? Who do you trust? But God wants us to always trust in him. You know, for some, their trust hasn't increased. And you know what happens when your trust doesn't increase in God? You end up going through more and more tests. Because he's going to get you to a place where you're going to lean on him. You know, we're going to get to a place where we're going to have to trust him. As things, well, I don't know whether we're going to be in that generation when they get to that point where Christians are being hunted down. We're going to have to trust in him. We're not going to have any choice. He wants to be our father. And those of us here that are a father, you know what that entails. It's not just a matter of fathering a child and putting food on the table and a roof over their head. There's a whole lot more to it. And God wants to be our father. Do you realize that even when Jesus was born, you know the scripture says God said, today I have become your father. Father God actually said that to his son. Today I have become your father. And Jesus looked to him, didn't he? He says, I don't do anything my father doesn't do. Everything I say, it's because my father told me to say it. He looked to his heavenly father. And Jesus tells us he's not just his father, but he's our father also. Let me read you some scripture. In Romans 8, verses 12 to 17, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are considered children of God. He's our Father. Let's look at John chapter 20. Verse 17. This is when Jesus had just come out of the tomb. And Jesus says to the woman, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." He was so emphatic about this. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Well, listen to this. This is some portion of Scripture in Hebrews. In verse 5, he says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say," talking about God, "you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." Here's God the Father speaking to God the Son. What an awesome, you got to read it sometime. Read Hebrews chapter 1. You see, Jesus was the firstborn among us all. Right? We've been born again. We've been born again. In John 3, what does he say? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. We've been born of the Spirit. And you know what thought, a crazy thought came to my mind? Here we are, we're living our lives. We haven't accepted the Lord. We haven't been born again. And I began to think, it's kind of like God was pregnant with us until we accepted his son. It's like he was pregnant. He could have been pregnant with us for 10 years, 25 years, 50 years. We might have been 50 years old when you accepted the Lord. It's like he was pregnant with you up until that time. And you were finally born again into the world. I know it's a crazy concept, but it's like he was waiting like a woman in labor, waiting to give birth. He was carrying us. He had a call on our life, whether you knew it or not. We didn't know it. Pastor Diane and I didn't know it. She's told a story how she was a young girl, very young girl, sitting in the Catholic church, a Lady of the Assumption down the street. And she's just sitting there going to church because her father dropped her off every Sunday to go to church because that's what you did. And I came walking in. We didn't know each other. Never met each other. Two young kids. I was there because my father made me go to church. That's what we did. We had to go to church. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to her. She didn't know it at the time. She happened to just catch me walking down the aisle, and God said, "You're going to marry him." And she said, "I'm not going to marry him. I don't even know him." And forgot all about it. Till our engagement party, the Spirit of God reminded her. Oh my God. All of a sudden, he brought it back to memory. God has it all planned. All planned way before we knew, had even an inkling of what he was doing. He's a good father. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father knows us, and he knows what we're going through. He's not oblivious. Don't think there's anything that he doesn't know what's going on in your life, good or bad. He knows. You can't withhold anything from him. And he's working it all out for your good. He's never too busy. He's never too late. It pleases him to give us all things. You know, those of us who are father, I'm sure you can probably relate to this. Don't you love it when your kids come to you for help? Now, I know, unfortunately, all too often they come for money. But lay money aside for the moment. I mean, if you can help them with the money and you feel it's worthy and it's necessary, hey, help them with the money too. I've done it. I've done the times, time and time again. But I love when they come to me for other things. It may sound silly. I'll get a phone call from one of my sons. Hey, Dad, what kind of fertilizer do I put down this time of year? Do I put down just fertilizer or do I put down something for the weeds or the crabgrass now? Well, now it's a little early for the crabgrass. Just put down the weed and feed now. All right, thanks, Dad. Or I get a call one night from my son. He's standing on a ladder in his dining room. Dad, he says, I'm changing a light fixture. He says, and stupidly, I took the whole fixture down, disconnected all the wires, and now I'm going to put the new one back up, and I don't remember what wires go where. I'm 30 miles away. I says, well, tell me the colors of the wires you got. Well, I got this, I got that coming out of the line, I got this and that. I says, all right, listen. Take the two blacks, take the green, and I didn't know if he was going to blow up his house. He does that. I says, oh, I tried. It worked. I love those kind of, and any dad, I'm sure you could relate to that. When your kids call you for help or advice or something like that, well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants us to go to Him, even with the silly, silly things. Sometimes, the other day, I'm doing something, and I got these landscape light, you know, garden lights, you know, here and there, and Pastor Diane wanted me to move something, and so I had to tap into the wire from one light to another. I had to tap into it so I could light this other thing that she wanted. So I did all of that, and now I got to bury the wire. So I'm digging to make a trench. I'm digging, and all of a sudden, I hit a main voltage wire going from my main house to my shed. I says, oh God, I hope I didn't cut that. It didn't look like I cut it. So I finished, I buried everything. I go in the shed to turn it on. No power. I actually stood there. I thought I was going to cry. I mean, I was so tired now. I didn't want to dig this thing up again and try to fix it. And I said, Lord, please, please, don't let it be that I cut that wire. Then I realized behind the house where I know the wire was connected, I go over there and I see what's called a GFI breaker. It's a special breaker. If anything comes in contact with water or anything, something, it'll kick like a little circuit breaker. I says, oh, Lord, please, just let it be that. So I get something sharp, push the reset button, the lights all come on. Now, that may sound silly, but I think that I believe it was God. He heard my prayer. He heard how desperate I was. I didn't want to dig that up again. He cares. That's the way a father is. It pleases Him to give us all things. Now, you know, and I think we can all, those of us who are fathers and mothers too, it even relates to that. We know we don't always have the answers. There have been times my kids have come to me and I say, I don't know. I really don't know that. Things have changed so much since my day. I don't have an answer for you. But our Heavenly Father always has the answers. He always has the. He's not behind the times. He knows all about artificial intelligence and everything else, GPS and everything. He knows it all. He knew it before they invented it. They think they invented it. He just finally decided, it's time I show them a little bit more about myself. Like He did with fire. All of a sudden one day He said, you know what, I'm going to give them fire. Let them cook their food. You know, give him a break. He knew it all before the foundation of the earth. You know, our earthly fathers can and have let us down. I can think of a couple instances where my father let me down, let the family down. But our Heavenly Father will never do that. Never, never, ever. You know, We don't do it as fathers on purpose, but we're human. Humans make mistakes. They do. Thank God our Heavenly Father doesn't. He's never made and never will make a mistake. Never. It's just up to us. We need to ask. We need to pray. We need to seek. We need to knock. And the scripture says, you do that, he'll answer. And he'll give it. He'll give you what you're asking for. You know, even the Lord himself had to pray, didn't he? Remember when he was in the garden? Remember, he was human too. He wasn't just God. And there he was on his face, sweating drops of blood. And he's literally begging his father, Father, Dad, if there's any way you can take this away from me, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to have to go through that. Is there any way? Is there a plan B? Is there any other way? And he didn't just do it once. He didn't just do it twice. Three times he went back until he finally said, nevertheless, your will be done. Because he knew his father had the best way. Jesus knew how to pray. I'm going to begin bringing this to a close. And I want to read to you. You know, we very seldom hear the Lord, the Lord praying. In Scripture, we hear him teaching and preaching. There's not too many portions of Scripture that we hear him praying. But I want you to listen to this portion. It's found in John 17. Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And he prays for all believers. Listen to this prayer. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now he prays for his disciples. He says, I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are still in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. We know who that is. That the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil world one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now he prays for all believers. I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that also they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. He was all about family. He was all about family. He and his Father in him, his disciples in them, all those that his disciples were going to touch and become believers should be one in them all together. It's all about family. The first thing he did when he created all of this, he created family. He created Adam. He created Eve. He said, now go make a family. It was all about family. And that's what we have strived to do even here at Full Gospel. You know, I don't regret the fact that we're small. You know, probably almost everybody here knows everybody's name. We're intimate. We can go to each other and share some burdens that we have and ask each other to pray. Remember me in prayer. Remember my son, my daughter in prayer. Whatever the case may be, it's all about family. What a prayer. You know, sometime when you have time, John 17, read that again more slowly and understand it's all about family. Now, we are about to embark upon something new there at Full Gospel. And, you know, we're going to be talking about that later. And listen, I understand we may not all be in agreement. You know, we don't like change. Nobody likes change, do they? But you can't stop change. I once heard said, the only thing that doesn't change is change. But here's the thing. Don't let anything or anyone ever cause you to leave the family that God has called you to. You know, I've been here, like I said, through, well, let's see, Pastor David, Pastor Wynn, Pastor Odom, three other previous pastors, and every time there was a transition, people left. I never quite understood that. They just, it's a new, I'm going to go somewhere else. I can remember when Pastor Odom left, and we took over. People coming to us and saying, you know, we're going to be leaving. Why? Well, I actually love it here. I love you guys. I love it here. But you know what? Some of my friends are leaving, whatever. You know, we're going to leave. We're going to go somewhere else. And I never quite could understand that when there's a change. You know what it reminded me of? You know, when we were first married, within a couple of years of being first married, I was in the business of TV repair. And an opportunity came up, arose down in Florida, to buy a TV repair shop. So I took my wife and my first son, and we moved to Florida. And I bought this TV repair shop, and we were down there for several years, and hey, we missed family so much that we ended up deciding to come back to New York. And we came back penniless. Actually, we came back less than penniless. We came back owing money. Had to start all over again. But make a long story short, within a few years, I found a business up here to buy, right here in North Lindenhurst, owned by an older German guy. Hans Werner Gertsche. It was called Werner's TV. So I bought the business. And, in those days, you made service calls. And the phone would ring, and you'd take down the, my TV doesn't work, whatever, and you'd write down the address, and you'd go make a service call. One of the first houses I go to, now I pull up, I get out of the truck. Back in those days, you had a big tube caddy. It was all tubes TV. It was way before transistors and all that stuff. So I had a big tube caddy, my toolbox. I walk up to the door, ring the doorbell. Woman coming, a little older woman comes to the door. She opens the door and she closes it a little bit. She says, who are you? I says, you called for a service call? Your TV's broken? You're not Werner. No. Werner retired. Werner moved away. So, well, I want Werner. I said, well, Werner's not here anymore. Werner lives in New Hampshire. So, well, then I'm going to call somebody else. I said, why? I don't know you. I said, do you know somebody else that can fix your TV? She said, no. I said, then why do you want to call somebody else? Either way, you're not going to know them. I'm here now to fix your TV. Because it was change. She had to go somewhere else. She did eventually let me in, and I fixed the TV. But I'm saying, that's almost the same attitude. It's change. You got to go somewhere else. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Okay? Listen, and we're going to talk more later on about what our proposal is. There are going to be changes. There are going to be some things you maybe don't like. There are going to be some things, hopefully, a lot of things that hopefully you're going to like. But there may be something. You know what? You may come in here one Sunday and somebody's sitting in your seat. We laugh. I can remember years ago. Years ago, it was right when the wing was open. This one person, that was their seat. Man, that's where they, you could bet your bottom dollar, that's where they'd be every Sunday morning. Well, she came in one Sunday, and there was a visitor. They're sitting in her seat. Do you know she went over to them and tapped them on the shoulder and said, I'm sorry, but this is my seat. And I looked at them. Well, the person was, I guess, gracious enough to get up and move. But this is my seat. You may have to move your seat. Might be some other changes that happen. Things are gonna be different. But different isn't always bad. Different can be good. And we're believing. Listen, we wouldn't be proposing what we're proposing if we hadn't done our homework. This isn't something we planned overnight. We've been planning on this for years, knowing that the day is going to come when we can't be here. It's not today. It's not tomorrow. But the day is going to come. And you don't just leave it to happenstance, let the cards fall as they may, and then deal with it at the time. No, not if you're a good steward of what God has given you and has entrusted to you. And so that's what we're doing. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little break and maybe have a bagel or something in the cafe. And then we're going to come back in here at 1 o'clock. Now, the reason we have to do that, I know it was actually asked of me, can we just go right into the meeting? Because I don't want any of you to leave. I don't want you to leave, but you know what I found out when I was printing out the membership list the other day? Many, many of the members of this church are from the Spanish ministry. So I asked Pastor Lennon this morning, please ask as many of them to come back. And I had to give them a time. I said, come back, because I didn't know what time we'd finish. I said, have them come back at 1 o'clock. So hopefully some of them are going to come back. So we need to wait till 1 o'clock. It's only 15 minutes. We can go inside, get a cup of coffee, a little